Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody to Garden of Enlightenment with Lu Yu Wildus, with my co-host Reverb Dreams, Gray Eyes, Smith, and Francisco Del Mar. And tonight we'll be doing open poetry and the front page pics of the group. Congratulations to everybody on the front page pics. And to let you know a little bit about ourselves, we are from the Late Night Poets group, and Our producer has published several books on poetry from the group, the radio shows, and the Late Night Poets Anthology volumes. This is how these radio shows are supported on Amazon. So please go and check us out and help support the beautiful poetry that we've been doing each night and after midnight. And Greg, you can go ahead and start picking up our callers.
Okay, hi. And so we have Weaver of Dreams.
Hey, Weaver.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you
Hello,
this
Weaver.
Evening, sweetheart?
I'm wonderful, thank you. I'm feeling good. And hi, Gray. I hope you're feeling good, too. I hope you're all feeling good.
I am. Thank you.
Good to hear, Gray. I'm glad you're feeling good. Okay. And I saw you liked the song, Bootin' Boogie.
Yeah. Yeah, Bootin' Boogie.
You sound a little far away, Gray.
Oh, okay. Is that better?
We'll just see how it goes. And I want to welcome Francisco. He's in the group. I hope that he can hopefully call in. And do we have anybody else?
No, we did have a caller, 707, but they hung up since. So,
for whatever reason, if your call drops, please keep trying to call back in. Okay, Miss Katie, we are ready for our first poem.
Well, whoop-de-doo. And here we have Ripples by Debashish Verma. I will give this one a read. We'll ease you in gently, do you?
Okay.
Don't say I'm not good to you. So this is Debashish Verma, Ripples. My thought took a turn at the corner of confusion, littered with torn pieces of dreams and dry leaves of desire. I was moving aimlessly with my bleak face away from jungle of residence and parking space. I want to get out of the boredom and look at the star-studded sky to divert my mind from worldly affair and breathe the air that has travelled from far, carrying no carbon and dust. That will create ripples of hope in the heart of a loser and stitch a wound inflicted by near and dear. End poem.
Oh, my. You did a beautiful read, Katie, of Debashish's poem. I really enjoyed his imagery in here. In some ways, I found this sad because, when you hope for something, he diverts his mind from worldly affair, which is, just what's going on in the world is just awful. And just to be able to breathe the air, just simple breathing that has traveled from far, carrying no carbon and dust that will create ripples of hope in the heart of a loser. When you feel like you're that way, the sadness that you feel and what's going on around us, this was wonderfully rhymed, to create the ripples of hope in the heart of a loser. That was just, I just found it deeply sad. He did a wonderful job in writing this. What did you think about the poem, Gray?
It's a very profound poem filled with hope. We all go through troubles in life that leave us feeling like losers at times. And, sometimes a wound can be afflicted by people that are near and dear. And, it just takes a breeze carried from afar to help heal that. And I thought it was wonderful. You did a beautiful job of reading as well, Weaver.
She did. Agreed, Gray. And what did you think about the poem you read?
Oh, I thought it was wonderful. I liked it a lot. I like the idea of ripples. I've always been fascinated by the fact that one tiny pebble dropped in a pond can make this wonderful ripple effect spread out and out, the same as any action has a following reaction in real life.
Yeah.
You think you're doing something or saying something that's really not that bad. Nobody's going to mind. And then it gets sent out like a Chinese whisper and it ends up it ends up you're the worst person in the world because you've been saying horrible things. So you do have to be careful what you think, what you do, and how you affect other people. But I really enjoyed this littered with torn pieces of dreams and dry leaves of desire. Is that not just beautiful or what?
Mm-hmm.
Lovely. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
And we're ready for our next front page pick. Oh, we got a caller. Hello.
Hey, Coach.
Hello.
Hello, is that you? Hi, Frank.
Yes. Hello there.
Hola, Francisco. Welcome.
Hello. It's always a pleasure.
Hello, Frank.
Hello there, Katie.
And how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing okay. Just bearing the cold a bit, but not really much. Lately it's been, at least today it's been fair weather, so I'm grateful for that. I was able to do things today that I couldn't do perhaps as much 2 days ago.
Yeah, it was really cold. Yeah, I just like to stay in the house and stay under covers when it's cold.
And your voice is coming in really clear, Frank, so that's great.
Yeah, it's probably because of my headphones. I mean, it has to do with my phone, you know. That's the idea. That's the whole dilemma I have with the phone. It has to do with there's days I have connections, some days I don't. And it's not for me, of course. If it was for me, I would make time without an issue with the phone, believe me.
Oh, well, that's great.
Absolutely.
Katie, you have AJ. Oh, the poem's been deleted. Oh, how sad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So we have coming up on the board The Glowing Kaleidoscope by Colab. And seeing as how we have you, Frank, would you be so kind as to read this, please?
All right. This is a poem by Colab called The Glowing Kaleidoscope. Your eyes, smiles, wiped clean by the arbiter, as history marches on. Years twirl like the revolving door of seasons. The faces represented in the painted glass of an imaginary family chapel, their souls reflected in the prism of these Fabergé lights that fandango and pirouette through the gold specked air, then dissipate searching for a new home, for there is no beginning, there is no end, only a continuation of the same original energy, from God knows when you later found a similarity, a generation or two later or even within this lifetime. Of the ones you'd once loved, returning, taking on a new form amidst your close friends and family, a sparkle and a wink, harks back to a deja vu of a scene, of a place, of a face you recognize, but can't place where or when, but the familiarity of having been there, undeniable as a black butterfly that escapes from the chimney of the crematorium. And you're finding the gold coin among the ash of a beloved which you hold on to cherish, and the unending, shifting pieces of a colourful kaleidoscope that slip and slide in the process of life and death, the end or the beginning. Then I hear you calling my name as you vanish into the marshes of an African nation. End of poem.
That was brilliant. That was well done. Thank you so much, Frank. I think our poor Luyu is having a little bit of a problem with a cough at the moment. So let us carry on, shall we? Carry on the garden, as we say. Gray, your thoughts on this, please.
Yeah, I'm going to read the author's notes. It says, as a child, my grandmother in Cambodia used to tell me to carefully watch the chimney at the end of a cremation, for there will be a black butterfly flying out of it, which is the soul of the cremated. Also, a gold coin is placed inside the body before it's cremated, and the one who finds it, as he or she picks the ashes, will be the lucky one to keep it. Never happened to me for the second one, but for the black butterfly, I witnessed it with my own eyes after the cremation of my granddad. It flew out from the chimney. So that's a very haunting and reverential, right? You know, it speaks to your life, you know, and... years twirl like the revolving door of seasons, their faces represented in the painted glass of an imaginary family chapel, their souls reflected through the prism of these Fabergé lights that fandango and pirouette through the gold speckled air. I mean, just beautiful, sentimental, right? Filled with incredible imagery and hope. So I thought it was beautiful, and you did a great read, Frank.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Yes, you certainly did. That was a wonderful read. And I suppose I should say something. Why not? I thought it was wonderful as well. The thought of a black butterfly, I mean, it's, oh, my goodness me. It, and, you know, you have to say that he said he saw it, and you would not for one second not believe, because it's a wonderful idea, isn't it? It's a, really a wonderful idea that your soul, which, as far as I've always been concerned, is a nebulous nothing that you don't see but are aware of or feel, perhaps, but that to think that there's a butterfly that's taking that soul onwards is it's a lovely thought. It's just a wonderful thought. Like a lot of these things have to be, because, you know, we have to have something to look forward to past everything that we go through in this wonderful life that we have. Okay, let's see if our darling's back. Luyu, are you back yet?
Yes, she is. I just have to pick her up here. Here we go.
Thank you,
there
everybody.
You know,
I liked about this is, you know, there's these different traditions that all of us have when our somebody that we love dies. And, you know, you the things that you tell children and that they look for, I don't know, did anybody read her author's notes?
I did, yes.
Okay. So, you know, she did say that she witnessed this with her own eyes of the creation of her granddad. And, you know, I really liked where she talked about in the unending shifting pieces of a colorful kaleidoscope that slip and slide in the process of life and death, which we all are dealing with, the end of the beginning. Then I hear you calling my name. You know, those memories where we can hear the things that of our grandparents or family members as you vanish into the marshes in an African nation. Beautifully penned, and I'm sorry for your loss, Colette. Okay, Miss Katie, we're ready. And great read, Francisco. I'm sorry I started coughing. I couldn't hear it.
No, that's okay. I thought it was a parakeet at first there.
I wish.
What are your thoughts on the bowl, Frank?
I really, my introspective or a thought on this was I felt a bit as well of reincarnation. That has to go for a little bit of the Asian thought of respect, the belief systems over there and how reincarnation is something that, although it's in the form of a butterfly here, it's very much representative and embodiment of how some of us, you know, look onto the afterlife perhaps, or what happens to the soul. But I also felt a tinge as well of sadness a bit, you know, for the actual, you know, veracity of what this representative was, an actual thing. So in that regard, you know, it does make you think a bit about, you know, the whole issue of dying and what happens to you afterwards. And, you know, so it's just a food for thought for tonight.
Mm-hmm. And has everybody commented, Grace?
Yes.
Okay, we're ready for our next poem, Miss Katie.
Okay, and I just want to say, Frank, I totally agree with you as far as reincarnation. For me, it's the only thing that makes sense of the senseless loss that some people have at certain times that should never have happened. So, yes, I would like to think that is something that it is a reality. Because you meet old souls everywhere, don't you? You do. I'm an old soul, but I'm just old.
But you're young at heart there.
Oh, definitely.
Katie, you're young at heart there. I thought that matters there, my dear.
Thank you. True. I have a great zest for life, I must admit. I really enjoy. I enjoy this. I enjoy everything. So, yes, lucky for that, at least. Now we have David Philip Ireland, and the poem is Someone Stole My Summer. And, Gray, would you read this for us, please?
He has a recording.
SoundCloud. Oh,
yes.
Do you?
Okay.
Cool. Let me see.
All right, here we go.
Grass is yellowing in the rain. Days are shorter than they once were. Someone stole my summer again. Morning dew that doesn't dry leaves a silk thread on the pane. How's it flew, now they just fly. Someone stole my summer again. Someone stole my summer. Someone stole my summer again. Summer. Someone stole my summer again. Grains are shivering in the meadow, bowing to the August gale. Days are colder than they once were. Someone stole my summer again. Evening mist closes in, dense and heavy in the lane. Birds that flew, now they just fly. Someone stole my summer again. Someone stole my summer. Someone stole my summer again. My summer. Someone stole my summer. Harvest moon is ripe with season, silhouetting blooms that will not wane. Now the days go rushing by. Someone stole my summer again. Fruit is rotting in the orchard. Grass is wallowing in the rain. Days are shorter than they once were. Someone stole my summer again. Someone stole my summer. Someone stole my summer again. My summer again. Someone stole my summer again. Someone stole my summer.
I want to thank Philip for sending in that recording. He has such a wonderful voice, and I always enjoy reading his lyrics, and especially if we get the opportunity to hear him sing. And, Someone Stole My Summer Again was repeated in each stanza. And, you know, he brings about how, when winter is coming, and like he brings out here, grains are shivering in the meadow. And I know I shiver when I'm cold. Going to the August gales, the days are colder than they were once. Someone stole my summer again, And, I was just looking at some of his comments, and he said that he was happy that they were experiencing summer in the UK. The last of the fresh figs have just been harvested. More food for thought, it just seems like we're just getting colder and hotter each year. But his poem was just beautiful from the beginning to the end. It has some sadness in there. When we say goodbye to summer as she goes to sleep and August starts coming in and then winter. Beautiful, beautiful poem, David Ireland. And I'd like to know what you thought, Katie.
Oh, that was a lovely, lovely voice. I mean, how lucky are we? Not only do we get to read these wonderful poems, but we also get people like Frank reading them.
Katie?
Hello?
Yeah, can you guys hear me?
Yes. Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, something happened to Katie. Okay,
yeah,
well, we're waiting for Katie to come back. I'd like to know what you thought about the poem, Gray Eyes.
Well, I thought it was, I hate it when summer goes, grains are shivering in the meadow, bowing to the August gales, the dahlias are colder than they once were, someone stole my summer again. I mean, that pretty much says everything right there. And I really enjoyed the harvest moon is ripe with season, silhouetting blooms that will not wane. How the days go rushing by. Someone stole my summer again. just an excellent write on the subject of this passing season that we all cherish, I think, to the most part. I mean, summers can be pretty brutal in a lot of places in the world, but in BC here, they're pretty tame as far as it goes. So I'm fortunate for that. And,
lucky you.
Yeah, it was a great poem. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Here where Frank and I live, it is nothing like that. What did you think of it, Frank?
There's some days where I do wish summer would last more than others. I have to say, first of all, I like the, they were more like lyrics in a poem, but I really enjoyed the flow of the piece. I really enjoyed the voice that he sung. And as well, the rhythm of this piece here, it's a very, you know, he mentions here and he reiterates here, the servant stoned my son again. You know, there is that feeling of sadness here that prevails a bit in this poem, but there's also a sense of realizing what you missed and what is gone and what you desire again. So I thought overall he did a fantastic job.
Yes, you did. It's just beautiful. I enjoyed the whole thing. Thank you. Katie, are you back?
Okay,
she says her signal dropped. Okay, so this isn't... let me try reading this. The Stillness of It All by Candy Brown. Clearly we ache for it, the quiet of the night, when only the moon can hear our sadness. So afraid to let the world see how incomplete we have become. Oh yes, we clamor as ants during daylight to and fro till we are dragging our lackluster legs, if only to accomplish the task of living for the moment as if wearing blinders like a racehorse menagerie. I love quiet, even when every evening turns into coral continents and nature reaches out to caress the soul, or a fresh spring day just before birdsong, when a cool breeze awakens sleepy eyes. We may not understand till death comes knocking. Such is life unaware in the simple flutterings of angel wings that make no sound. And the show final hour, when our blue lips taste the last drop of breath, never ready for the stillness of it all, in poem. Wow. Thank you, Candy, and congratulations on your front page pick. Gray, what did you think of Candy Brown's poem?
Well, you did a fabulous job of reading it. But, you know, I thought that... the poem has a deep sadness in it that you can feel throughout the write. And, you know, there's a loneliness there. And it really captures your heart and imagination, you know, as you feel the pain that is expressed throughout this write until finally the slow and final hour when our blue lips taste the last drop of breath, never ready for the stillness of it all. You know, after running like an ant, and, you know, dragging long, lackluster legs, if only to accomplish the task of living for the moments, as if wearing blinders like a racehorse menagerie. You know, there's a deep peacefulness that comes in the evening, and that's expressed beautifully in this write. So thank you for sharing, Candy, and great read, Lee.
Thank you, Gray. And Francisco, what did you think?
Well, you know, this is a very insightful poem. You know, it's very introspective as well. You know, this is about, I was reading the notes below what you said. You know, this is about someone who's really gone through the toils, the hardship of pain, but come at the same time realizing, you know, how valuable life is and how to really appreciate even the stillness, even the silence, even the most things that bring us the most gentlest comfort that we have. So this really is a very big piece, and it's a very personal one indeed.
Agreed. You know, there's just something in here for us. She wrote to Pablo Nurado, And she got a gold medal. I want to congratulate her on this.
Yeah.
You know, this just provokes thoughts about how we never know when we're going to pass away. You know, unforeseen circumstances can take us, you know, and she brings out here, you know, especially toward the end, you know, she talks about how beautiful life can be. I really love this. Or a fresh spring day just before birdsong, when a cool breeze awakens sleepy eyes. We may not understand till death comes knocking. And sometimes, you know, there's nothing we can do to savor that last breath of being alive. And you never know the stillness of it all until it happens. And, you know, she wrote about her thoughts. And Katie, are you back yet?
There you go.
There she is.
Oh, that's weird. Oh. Frank.
Did you get to hear the, did you want to, can you make a comment on C. Brown's poem, or you weren't able to hear it?
Not really. I got the last couple of lines, I think, because I just managed to get myself logged back in again. My signal went, my Wi-Fi signal went. I wasn't dropped. I was just no
welcome
signal.
Back.
Horrible feeling, by
well,
the way.
Well, I'm happy to have you back.
Thank you. Oh, dear. Okay, then. So we're all set. I've got everything back the way it should be. So would you like the next one up?
Yes, ma'am.
Okie dokie. Well, I thought I had it. Now it's gone. Oh,
no,
yeah.
It's up there, Joseph.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sweetly Sleeping by Joseph Moon. And Frank, would you like to read this one for us, please?
All right. This is a poem called Sweetly Sleeping by Joseph Moon. My troubled lungs, falling branches and naked trees. Thumbs the birds, thumbs the breeze. The last warm trace of summer whining. My melancholy too deep for explaining. Before winter withered the grass fee were writing, the sapphire skies they were alighting. How can I remember these sun sighing, or see like autumn leaves are lying? Oh dear, odd for poet is friend, the spirit to know the death is not the end. The wind carries the sound of my voice, I hear with rhyming clarity and rejoice. The words that brighten a barren landscape, like a paradise no one wants to escape. How gorgeous thee are dressed in dew, I hear Mother Nature singing too, like a beautiful bird flying free. O grace, that's how I remember thee, as you sweetly sleep in silence. End of poem.
Mm-hmm. You beautifully read this poem by Joseph. I'm sad to hear when I'm reading the author's notes that friends one and all, I have just learned of the passing of our dear poetess friend, Grace, a.k.a. Allison, all season verse. I'm sorry to hear that she's passed. She entered a lot of contests, and I recognize her by the picture.
I heard about
and,
this
you know,
a while ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so see this, you know. Oh, dear artful poetess friend, the spirit know that death is not the end. The wind carries the sound of my voice. I hear with rhyming clarity and choice. Beautiful poem and beautiful tribute, Joseph Moon. And I'd like to know what you think about the poem, Gray.
Sorry, let me get off mute there. You know, I thought it was heartfelt, you know, endearing. You can really feel the respect and admiration that he had for this poetess that passed. It's a beautiful poem, and I thought it was wonderfully read by Frank as well. So great job, Frank.
I appreciate that.
Thank you. Thank you. And what did you think about the poem, Kate?
It's always so, so sad to hear someone is no longer with us. And it doesn't get easier. You know, you'd think if you live many, many years, you would get used to it, but you don't. It just is, it's inevitable, but it always is a horrible surprise, a shock to those who care about the person. So I'm always, a little bit of me is always dies a tiny bit when I know somebody that I love has gone. So I think we're all the same.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Very well done. Sorry for your loss.
Thank you. And me too. And get ready for our next poem, and you did a beautiful read.
Oh, can I comment on this?
Frank. Oh, yes. Go ahead, Frank. Sorry.
I'll be brief here. Thing that I've always enjoyed about allpoems.com is that although we don't meet these people who are passed on by person, you know, most times, we get to know them in essence to their poetry. And I'm always really moved by these tributes here. Because essentially, you know, we cast them as dying, but they're really not dead because their poetry lives on through them. That's all I wanted to comment to. It was a great tribute there by Joseph.
And then a beautiful comment, Frank. A beautiful read. Thank you. Back to you, Miss Katie.
All right. Next up is three very rough poems because I cannot deal with editing or submitting these days by Brian Roman. And I'm going to read this one because I'm very intrigued. I want to find out what's happening. Okay, so three very rough poems because I cannot deal with editing or submitting these days. And I can never quite get over the strangeness of this life, this body, this soul, this mind, heart, all these things, all these metaphors for our experience, all these ways of being this person I am. None of it has ever seemed quite real to me, except in moments of pain and terror, and then it becomes decidedly all too real, a thing to be rid of as quickly as possible. I have read about the mid to late 40s, being at the bottom of someone's so-called unhappiness curve, before finally reaching the glorious fuck it 50s, and goddamn, I am really looking forward to that, because I am so damn tired of caring about all the wrong things, about being eaten alive by trivialities, and this despite all your to let it go, dude. Yeah, as if that were an option, as if I was in control of my own heart and mind. Like you say, you are a tough guy, captain of your own soul. And by the way, I don't believe a word of it. Maybe you just got lucky. Maybe grace was poured into you and you were able to contain it. But for me, it runs out through so many parable cracks. I swear, the love and the hate, they have lives of their own. They sneak in, they stay, they feast upon us as long as they damn well please. And then they go. Sometimes they go if we're lucky, unlucky, whatever. I don't know precisely what keeps me away. No, scratch that, I do. It's only this thing that's been hurling towards me my whole life. The realization that I am a complete failure. It makes other people insufferable to me. Their opinions and their advice and their questions. I'm not sure just what happened to me along the way, that I became so derailed from the human path. Perhaps it was a series of things. But all I know now is the hell of my own inner world that I walk through every day. And seeing you and everyone else through the flames and the air wavering in this heat, I see everything distorted and unclear. Your faces appear monstrous. Your love spreads into a bloodstain on the horizon. End poem.
Fantastic read, Katie. You know, I found this poem to be, in some way, the torture that we feel in life. And just to vent and just to write how we feel without editing it or, you know, worried about what we're saying, but just to be honest in everything that we say. And, you know, especially the different times that we have lived through. And, you know, he brings out, I swear, the love and the hate, they have lives of their own. They speak in. They stay, they feast upon us as long as they damn well please, and then they go. Sometimes they go if we're lucky, unlucky, whatever. You know, the way that people behave and how they are, and, you know, it can just pain us to death to where it just cuts our heart and leaves scars. I thought this was powerful and well-written, and you did a beautiful read, Katie, of Brian Roman's poem, and like to know what you think, Gray.
I got to unmute there. No, I thought it was a fantastic rate. You know, it's real. You know, you get realness from this. It speaks from the heart. It speaks truth as he sees it. And, you know, it evokes the sense of pain that he's suffering through as he lives his life. And I don't know precisely what keeps me away. No, scratch that, I do. It is only this thing that's been hurling towards me my whole life, realization that I am a complete failure. It makes other people insufferable to me, their opinions, their advice, their questions. I'm not sure what happened, just what happened to me along the way, that I became so derailed from the human path. Perhaps it was a series of things. But all I know is the hell of my own inner world that I walk through every day. And so many people live like this, you know, they're in pain every day and they're suffering, you know, and it just takes everything they can do to put one foot in front of the other, which is a powerful thing to be able to do and to get through it and to express it in words such as he has. So all the best to you, Brian, and thank you for sharing. And great read, David.
Thank you, Gray. And how about you, Francisco?
Well, you know, I agree with Gray here. I think there's so much here written that's relatable, you know. We go, you know, through our lives up and down, you know, we either learn or we don't learn the lessons. But I really like the essence of the poem. It's very raw, very sincere, candid. And it just has that sentiment expressed throughout the poem of just being who that person is and being all they are in those thoughts. It was a fantastic, fantastic a revelation of those thoughts, I thought, throughout the poem.
Excellent comment, Frank. Thank you so much. And Katie, you did a great read. I'd like to know your thoughts.
It was a joy to read. It just flowed. I mean, we're talking about stream of consciousness here, and beautifully done.
Yeah, I agree.
It's not easy, because you cannot help but go, oh, I did that, I'll change that word, I've used that word before, I'll change that. He hasn't. He's just allowed his thoughts to flow, come out on his keyboard. He's looked at it and thought, that'll do. I've got that out of my system. Let that go. And sent it off for us to read. And I must admit, to read and enjoy, because I really did. Very, very clever. It seems so effortless. Mm-hmm. It seems as if, just six or seven words, another few words, there we go, not a problem. But yeah, it was very clever and I really enjoyed it. So thank you so much for sharing that with us. And I hope, Brian, that if this is really your own three very rough poems, I hope things get less rough, a little bit smoother.
Yeah.
Hope so. Thank you.
Thank you, Katie. And we're ready for our next poem, our next front page pick.
Da-da-da-da-da. Here we have Cracks. God, I love this one. Cracks and Patches by Jack Tomkovic. Now, I think I've asked Gray to read quite a few times. Have I? Yes, I have. So, Frank, would you care to read this one for us, please?
All right. This is a poem called Cracks and Patches by Jack Tomkovic. Love patches up the bare spots in spackles she cracks, knits back together the broken lives of the living and dying day to day, embroiders the tattered edges of new exit signs, and grows yellow mums and orange lilies, in dirt capable of only a mate in bricks, filling swamps and linen driveways. End of poem.
Wonderful read, Frank. I really enjoy Jack Tomkovic's poems. You know, he just tells you what it is. You know, he's talking about life, death, love, and hope. And I thought that he did that so wonderfully. But one of the things that I noticed is that, you know, he brings out how love in his first stanza patches up the bare spots and spackles the cracks. And, you know, no matter what we're going through in life, love does have a healing energy for our souls and our bodies and minds, and it's something we remember. And I thought this was nicely done, Jack, and wonderful read, Frank. And what did you think, Gray?
You know, it's an endearing rate on the healing power of love. You know, Jack always has so much love in his rights, and You know, I thought it was beautiful. Love patches up the bare spots and spackles the cracks, knits back together broken lives of the living and dying day to day. Yeah, love is a cure-all for sure.
Agreed. Excellent comment, Gray. And what did you think, Katie?
Oh, yes. This was very, very good. Very interesting as well. And I liked it. Because if you think about dirt, you think about, just in your mind, you're thinking, oh, dirt. It seems to be a negative thing, you know, because we're thinking of dirty clothes or dirty faces or dirty minds, whatever, you know, whatever we're thinking
of. Not to the pig there. The pig loves dirt.
Exactly. There's nothing wrong with it. Things grow in it. And things get buried in it, like treasure and dead people. But other than that, it's wonderful. We shouldn't think bad things about dirt. I think it's wonderful. I used to play in the dirt all the time as a kid. Yes, I like this a lot. I like the fact that he brought all this together to let us see that love can do so much and help us all if we just allow it to happen. Capable only of making bricks, filling swamps and lining driveways. Nah, a lot more than that. But very well done. Thank you so much for sharing, Jack.
Thank you. And Frank, what did you think of Jack's poem?
Yes, I was reading the what was down below, and I thought that it really had that vibe of, of describing the everyday mundane life of people here, and how people exist and how they get along in their lives, and how they make do with their lives as well. And the cracks and patches, it was somewhat that I felt throughout the poem, a feeling, sensation I had at the poem that he was describing as well, the everyday life of a mundane person who has to do the most toils of work that some of us don't want to do, but these people do. So it's really an introspective poem as well. You know, he's really talking about giving insight here to the lives of these people.
Agreed. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
And we're ready for our next poem, Miss Kitty.
I'm sending it out as we speak. And poor Gray has just let me know that he hasn't actually read any more than just one poem, because every time I've asked him, something in a SoundCloud or I've disappeared or, whatever. So sorry about that. So here we have A Sparrow Perches on His Grave by Hakapakal. So, Gray, would you like to read this, please?
Sure, it'd be my pleasure. A sparrow perches on his grave. Early morning evades. A sparrow's grief neglects rain as a daisy bows with the wind, and leaves flit between hands of a mother who mourns. Her son is buried in fractures of her bones, and a funeral that never ends. End poem.
Oh, my goodness. One of the things I've got to say about Harco is he can write such sorrowful, deeply emotional and moving poems. And, this is just beautifully penned. Harco really writes how deeply sad the mother feels at the death of her son. Her son is buried in fractures of her bones and a funeral that never ends. And, that is so true, because I have never stopped missing my grandmother. I miss her deeply. When I drive by where she used to live, all these memories flood my heart, and I miss her so much. She was such a fabulous cook. And we look forward to all our Sunday dinners with her. And, and those memories, they never leave you. This is deeply and beautifully penned. What did you think about the poem, Katie?
Yes, I did enjoy it. I do like Harker's work. And this was a little bit longer than we're used to, which was great. This is 40 words. See, there's a contest for a poem written in 40 words. Very clever. But that heart-wrenching penultimate stanza, her son is buried in fractures of her bones. And then the last one, and a funeral that never ends. Oh, of course. I mean, a parent doesn't expect to have to do that, you know, a parent doesn't expect to outlast their children, and it's a heartbreaking thing because you'd give anything and everything for your child, you know, anything and everything. So I can understand the pain involved. Lovely. Very well done. Hakapako. I really enjoyed it. Agreed.
And how about you, Francisco? Thank you, Katie.
Yeah. I play this perhaps one of his best poems that I've read from him. The sorrow is palpable. The regret is palpable. You know, the whole sentiment expressed throughout this poem is really, really profound. But I really enjoyed one aspect of this poem, that is the candid nature of the poem and how he uses the analogy of the sparrow to use it for a sorrowful passing of a son. Great poem.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Francisco. Excellent comment. And how about you, Gwei?
Yeah, I mean, that poem moved me deeply. I mean, my brother passed away when he was 13, and I know my mother feels that in her bones to this day. And so the poem is very haunting, and it was a pleasure to read it.
Thank you, Gray. And we're ready for our next poem, Miss Kitty.
Okay, we've got coming up On the Other Side by Chinefsky. Am I saying that correctly? Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Chinefsky. Oh, yeah, good. And it's got a SoundCloud, so Gray, if you would be so kind.
Sure, no problem.
I turned the earth over as a pancake, looked for an alternative on the other side. Left the fiery fields, billowing smoke, chaos, disorder over my shoulder, wandering back to the garden. And the drones were only dragonflies, buzzing insects, past earlobes. For years, our tea parties had that morsel of fruit, bountiful harvest, holding us open, our delicate door. The forest suspended on our winding trails, turning into nature's lifeline, deeply seated on my palm, I blew dandelion seeds up wandering for fertile cribs. Yes, on the farm, gathering bouquets, just stardust, billions of years old, cutting through carbon smog, and it's time for man to reach extended fingertips, holding on to our home as cradled nest, breaking the shackles. Mornings with a sliver of horizon chasing the day, whispering pines playing old neighborhood songs with sweet sister in the billowing wind.
Oh, I want to thank Chinefsky for providing this sound club. This is just absolutely beautiful. His imagery where he talks about with sweet sister and the bellowing wind, you know, nature. He's very connected with nature, and he writes such spiritual poems and memories that are just twisted all in through here, where he talks about, and the drones were only dragonflies, buzzing insects past earlobes. For years, our tea parties had that morsel of fruit, bountiful harvest holding us open, our delicate door. You know, he's in Soul Asylum. He's the owner. And we used to have tea parties there a couple of years back where we would share poetry and joke with each other and then talk about the things that were going on in Earth, how we need nature's lifeline, you know, and he brings that out so well that we forget to live with Mother Nature. And, you know, these plants and these flowers, they survive through all, these are just beautiful flowers, just survive through the smog. And I thought that, you know, he brought this up beautifully, and it's beautifully penned and beautifully read. What did you think, Katie?
Yes, I did enjoy this. There's so much emotion coming out tonight, which is great if you can contain it. I'm not very good at doing that, so please forgive me if I end up sobbing into my microphone. But that's a testament to how wonderfully well written these poems are from the people that send them in. And so we should really appreciate that. I don't mind crying because it's a real emotion. Mm-hmm. If anybody gets upset, and I really do apologize, but sometimes you can't control your feelings and sometimes they overtake you. But mm-hmm. this was, I just thought it was lovely. Nature, I mean, you've got to look after it, man. You've got to look after it. We don't have much left. And with tiny, tiny parts of our world are still as healthy as they were when we first took that step out of the Garden of Eden, and then we just bulged the whole thing up. So we've got to get better at it. And so well done for bringing that to our attention. Thank you, Tineske. Wonderful.
Thank you, Katie. And how about you, Gray?
Well, I've got a good read of it. And, you know, I agree. You know, Mother Nature is a heal-all. It's a balm for everything that we need. And, it deserves our reverence and respect. So an excellent write and a fantastic read as well.
Nice comment, Gray Eyes. And how about you, Francisco?
Well, you know, I'm going to have to agree with Eddie. You know, the whole thing of this write, you know, I agree that Tineske, he had a wonderful gift here of inclusion of nature always in his insight as well, to how he sees Mother Nature and how he sees human nature as well, together, bonded. Throughout his words, he just a very intense outlook of what life is and what nature is as well, and how we should adapt ourselves to it. So I thought he did a fantastic job. Reading as always was well executed.
Great. Thank you, Francisco. And Miss Katie, you already got our next poem up. Look at you go, girl.
Well, she did. Which one is it? Do I have to refresh? Yeah.
Yeah. This one is called Timeless by Paula T. Calhoun. Oh, that's a damn good name. Calhoun. Mm. And a beautiful picture, too. And I will read this because I've been too quiet for too long. So here we are. I might fall asleep.
You won't.
No, I won't. It's too exciting. How could you possibly? Oh, dear. Anyway, serious face. In your eyes, perhaps I am but a distant ribbon, a wild cascade over stone shoulders, leaning against a sapphire sky, basking in clarified sun. Open your eyes. I am in every molecule of all that can be seen. My costume changes from sky to root, from bark to leaf, from blade of grass to lump of lichen, from raindrops to thundering torrent, siphoned by sunlight, poured out again. And again, yet again, since creation's birth, the water of life is the living water, coursing through the arteries and veins. Every capillary of what is, from seas to desert, from amoeba to whales, I am the God stuff you see and more, from which we all have come, to that which we all shall be. Take off your shoes. This is holy ground. End poem.
You did a beautiful read of Paula Calhoun's poem, Timeless. This, I wish people could see this photograph of this tall mountain peaks that we can see a glimpse through the sky of a waterfall that is flowing down, and we see this beautiful crystalline river that is just flowing through the trees, feeding them. And I just thought, you know, I love the stanza where she says, and again, yet again, since creation's birth, the water of life is the living water, coursing through the arteries and veins, every capillary of what is, from seas to desert, from amoeba to wells, I am God's stuff, you see, and more. And I just thought this was just a beautiful poem of nature, and it is timeless and awe-inspiring. What did you think, Gray?
I enjoyed it. You know, it's my philosophy that without water, there is no life, period. You know, water is life, and it is in everything. Whether you see it or not, it's there. And, you know, the world as we know it would not exist without water. You know, we'd just be a dry, desolate moonscape, you know. And I believe even the water has, the moon has water on it at some facet or another. So I thought it was beautiful and a great read as well, Weaver.
Thank you, Gray Eyes. And what did you think, Frank?
Do I go from Frank from Francisco to Frank? That's okay. No, that's okay. That's okay. This, you know, one thing I can say, I remember when I first started writing poetry, I used to write poems like this that were inspired by drawings, portraits, and pictures, and this brought me memories here. This is a wonderful adaptation to that concept there of being able to inspire yourself through Mother Nature and through a particular picture in this aspect. So I thought she did a fantastic job, and I thought the metaphors were striking as well.
Agreed. Wonderful comment. And what did you think about the poem, Katie?
Sorry, I was muted. Yes. I mean, it really, it flowed beautifully, and the picture that it was written to was just beautiful as well. And so you can see this wonderful water of life cascading over stones, basking in I love that, basking in clarified sun. But the penultimate stanza for me is the one that, oh, it's not the penultimate, I'm sorry. It's the second one. Yeah, but anyway, I liked that and so much. This was just told me exactly what this was all about, the beauty of it. I am in every molecule of all that I can be seen. My costume changes from sky to root, from bark to leaf. I'm not going to read any more of that because I think we can all remember just how wonderful that is. So very clever. I envy the ability of people to take words and just weave wonder. Wonderfully done. So thank you so much for sharing that with us, Paula.
And thank you. And thank you for reading. And we're ready for our next poem. We're already into our second hour. I can't believe it.
Well, I just put one.
No. I wasn't saying not to. Oh. I just can't believe we're already into our second hour.
I know. I just glanced up about 2 minutes ago thinking, where are we? And I thought, oh, my God. It's wonderful. Time just flies when you're having fun and drags when you're not. Now, this is going to be a very interesting poem. This one looks to be incredibly interesting. Sorry. Pancreatitis gnawed on my innards, and I found peace, by Cedar Chapman. Very serious subject. My golly. Let me see.
Gray, can we, Dave?
Sorry?
Did you ask for Gray or me?
No, I haven't asked anybody yet. I was having a moment having a look at it before I passed it on to you. I wonder if you would give a read of this for me, please.
Well, I'll give it a stab here. This is Cedar Chapman. Pancreatitis gnawed on my innards and I found peace. I lie, a world soft puppet, curdled on a hospital bed, a leaky pink bag of enzymes flood my abdomen with razors and broken glass. The CT scan shows blobs of little dark storm clouds scattered all over my pancreas. Sobbing reverberates from the bed next to me. The witching hour starts when children and wives go home. Only a thin layer of cotton sheet shield me from enema fumes and vomit bits. Beads of sweat roll down my pulsing temple before a nurse injects hydromorphine into my IV. I sigh in ecstasy, the shivering pain and anxious voices dissolve. All the answers of the universe float past me. Mount Fuji spins on my middle finger, shoots a geyser of Kentucky bourbon. I lick every drop. 4 weeks pass and I'm back in my doctor's office. Words like chemotherapy and radiation are mouthed from his lips. I don't chase buses anymore, solving physics problems with my kid means. We get to eat quarter pounders afterwards. sand, grit and salt water foam rubbing between my toes, holding my wife's hand as the blood-orange sun sinks below the Pacific Ocean. These are all my new experiences. I Google the nurse who administered hydromorphone. I think about the needle. I think about that feeling every day. End of the...
What a fantastic read, Francisco, of Cedar Chapman's poem. This is powerful. And he says, the meaning of life is just to be alive. It is so plain and so obvious and so simple. And yet everybody rushes around in great panic as if it was necessary to achieve something beyond themselves. And that's what he wrote to, you know. And what I loved about this was sometimes it takes something devastating in our lives for us to realize what truly is important. You know, the simple things, you know, just realizing what was really important in your life this entire time as you're going through something so traumatic. And especially if you're suffering, a lot, you know, suffering like he brings out here. And, of course, you know, I have been in pain before, and they have administered hydromorphine, you know, hydrocodone. And, you know, it alleviates the pain to a point where it allows you to shift through memories and the point where you realize, what have I been doing? What is important? Life to me is more important than anything else. Love, having your wife there with you, holding your hand, you know, just a simple touch of that person. And I thought this was just fantastic. Fantastic read too, Francisco.
Yes,
and what did you think of
that?
What did you think of the poem, Katie?
Oh, so sad. I do not like to think of people in pain. It's just, it just hurts so badly. And I feel for everybody who has to deal with anything like this. I was quite lucky. I was allowed to administer my own drugs to myself when I was particularly bad. So I had like liquid morphine in the morning to get me out of bed, and then slow release morphine tablet for the rest of the day. So basically I didn't really care. I couldn't walk, I couldn't move, I didn't care. So I can understand how you need when you
bounce
on something. Yeah, maybe relief. I was thinking more of a case of something that breaks your fall. But yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Words are going. Yeah, cool. So yes, I can understand why people everything is narrowed to that one point of pain.
Mm.
Everything.
Yeah.
You can't smile. You want to, you know, you got a bit of a grimace going on there, and people think, oh, you're looking well. No, I'm not. Don't lie to me. Yeah, you know,
yeah.
That kind of thing. But people are wonderful. They do try to make people who are in pain forget about it for a second or two, which is great. You know, it's great. When I'm in hospital, I just don't want anybody to visit me. Don't visit me. They don't like it, but it's just the way I happen to like things.
You know, that's funny
like
you said
yeah.
it, because I'm the same way. I'm miserable. I'm in a nightgown that has my high knee showing in the back. And you know, you're not at your best. Your hair is not brushed. You don't, you know, you just feel like crap.
Yeah.
And the
exactly.
last thing I want to do is visit with somebody.
Exactly.
Well,
it depends
on the visitor
that?
There. Yeah, he might not complain about seeing that.
I think it's more the I don't like to pretend. People don't really want to know what's going on with you because it makes them feel anxious and uncomfortable as well. And they find it very difficult to talk about the normal things of life because you're not able to participate. It's not a nice experience. Unless they're coming with a bit of vodka, don't come. I'm not interested. But this brings together all of this, all of the things you have to deal with, and how important your nearest and dearest are to you. And they're not antisocial like I am, and that's just my problem. But it's lovely to know that you are then able to look at the things in your life that you are so grateful for, and let them sort of bolster you up. And I think that's wonderful. And the lady, the nurse with the needle, we love her. So welcome.
Yeah, anytime they're unlocking that drawer, you know it's the good stuff.
Yeah.
Agreed. Fabulous comment, Katie. And what did you think about the poem, Gray?
Yeah, well, my heart, too, goes out to all those people that suffer in pain and, you know, need medication to help relieve that pain. And it's very sad and tragic. But, you know, at least there's some peace derived from the medicines that are given. So it was a haunting rite and an excellent read, Frank.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Thank you, Gray. And what did you think of the poem you just read, Francisco?
Well, you know, I too don't like hospitals, but for different reasons.
Yeah.
But I in my times that I've been, because I do interpret times there at hospitals, I find myself, you know, knowing people, knowing the situation, and it makes me even more human. You know, we connect as human beings through pain, unfortunately, but it's not necessarily something that needs to define us only. And I think this whole poem here, although it's really a tough right here to bear, and it's a very powerful right, there is a semblance of comfort, at least knowing that you have your wife in this case here. I thought the poem, you know, throughout that, really the message, the moral of the piece was what I took from it, and it really made me ponder just what life means and how much we should treasure and be appreciative of living each day on this earth.
Wonderful comment, Francisco. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
And we're ready for our next poem, Miss Katie.
And next, we've got Sans by S. Sharp. And Gray, would you like to read this for us, please?
Sure, you bet, yeah. All right, just one second here. Okay.
No problem.
So we have Sants by Esh Sharp. Everyday people muster about Barcelona streets, teeming, dark bodies, swimming like salmon to a life upstream, a life designed for toil. A good Catholic mother runs mourning along graffitied streets, blending into the poor people's art, wall Picassos. Spanish words scribed in rainbows, painted with pain for eyes, with the world's wind, sand blown from beaches 2 miles down the road where the world visits Barcelona. She drops her children at the rooftop school near where she resides and toils at home in Sants, working along the chaotic inner city street shops, patio restaurants, serving tapas, Mediterranean cuisines, uttering beauty in Spanish, smiling, dark black lustrous eyes, gleaming goodwill, serving Spanish welcome when midnight arrives with a smile and foam.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for reading, Gray Eyes. You did a wonderful job of reading Scott's poem. I was reading his comment where he was thanking Chris for commenting, and he said the picture is a girl who actually lives in Sants, a suburb of Barcelona, when we went there this past summer. So, you know, that is one of the things I miss about living in Europe, is how you could just sit in these little coffee shops or sitting outside, you know, having coffee, eating a little roll of something, some type of biscuit, you know, morning biscuit, and just watching the life that moves around you. And he did that beautifully. He talked about this good Catholic mother. And, you know, you can actually see how they live. And, you know, she brings out that after she's taken her to the school, but, you know, and then he goes, that she drops her children at the rooftop school near where she resides and toils. At home in science, working in a chaotic inner city, street shops, patio restaurants, serving tapas, Mediterranean cuisines, uttering beauty in Spanish, smiling. And I loved how he described her here. Dark black lustrous eyes, gleaming goodwill, serving Spanish welcome when midnight arrives with a smile. And also, you know, the Europeans tend to eat late. So, you know, you can enjoy sitting. They do. You can enjoy sitting outside, enjoying the cool night air, and just, you know, seeing the sights. It's just beautiful, these old, old cities that are hundreds of years older than here in the United States, and just to see the beauty in the people. I really enjoyed this poem by Scott. What did you think of the poem, Katie?
Well, I love Barcelona. I just think it's the most wonderful city, as long as you keep your purse very close to you. But I think it's absolutely wonderful. I just love, I mean, good heavens. You go and you see all the beautiful architecture. You come at the tube, I don't suppose they call it a tube station. You come at the tube station and turn around, and there is that beautiful cathedral. I don't even know if they call it cathedral, but anyway, it's beautiful. So, yeah, I thought this was wonderful. And tapas, who cannot enjoy tapas? It's wonderful. All of it. The only thing I found difficult about Barcelona for me was sitting in a cafe on the edge of the La Ramblas, which I can't say properly, La Ramblas.
Yeah.
And people walking up and down. They walk so fast, I was feeling seasick.
Yeah.
They go, shoom, past you, and then shoom, the other way. Blimey. So eventually I got up and walked away. I'd had enough. But yeah. Brilliant, beautifully written. I really enjoyed this. The mother working hard to look after her children and working till, you know, midnight. That's another thing. You cannot eat early. Being Scottish, you know, I am used to eating early. So I'm wondering about looking like a wraith. Where's the food? But yeah, beautiful. Beautifully done. Barcelona streets teeming dark bodies swimming like salmon. To a life upstream, a life designed for toil. Oh, my goodness. Wonderful words. Very well done. Thank you for sharing that.
I agree. Thank you, Katie. And what did you think of the poem, Frank?
Well, this really touched home for me. I used to be, I used to buff tables and work with waiters in Madrid. So this was really, it touched me personally, this story here. And I have to, I agree with you. There is nothing, for the respect, comparable to Europe in, you know, the cafes. You know, the way that life over there is just completely different. And that makes me think I need to get over there as quick as possible, hopefully this year. I thought the poems were always fantastic, and I really like the notion that's captured here about what he depicts here about this young lady here, and how her 9 to 5, her everyday, you know, life, working as a waitress.
Agreed. Beautiful comment. And Gray Eyes?
Yeah, I thought it was beautiful. I mean, you know, it really paints a wonderful picture of Sants in Barcelona. And, you know, she drops her children off at the rooftop school near where she resides and toils at home in Sants, working along the chaotic inner city street shops, patio restaurants, serving tapas. You know, you can picture all that. Although I've never been, it would sure be nice to go. So thank you for taking me there, Scott.
Thank you. And
well, you're
wonderful comments,
there.
Everybody. And the next, Irish Rose was supposed to call in, so how about we skip her because she didn't ask for a reader, and I'll add her next week and tell her that I re-added her.
Yeah, cool, no problemo. Okay, we shall moving on down, and now reaching level 5, we have, oh yes, The Law Show by Lawrence. 67, yes. I'll be with you in a moment. Don't worry about it. It's all happening here. The buzz of excitement going around. Katie's got lost again. Oh, no. Right. And I'm at my own party here, folks. Okay. The Law Show by Lawrence 67. Right. I would love you to read this for us, please, Frank. It would be wonderful.
All right. This is by Lawrence 67, The Law Show. The Adventures of Nigel the Cat and his homie Alfie. Law Show. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Law Show. I am Nigel the Fat Cat, and this is my homie, Alfie. Low, Alfie. Hello, hello, Low. Now, Alfie, from what I understand, is that parent of the Law Show is being sued at the moment by a particular radio personality, suing the Law for show for representation. And we have signed a document from this personality saying that they were damaged and are suing for emotional and physical injuries suffered by them during a low moment that turned drastically into a limal, but went hysterically to a limal foul moment, in which case the injuries happened. The injury party, who wishes to be anonymous at this time, were quoted as saying that they will address the situation live when they get down, having their asses sewed back on low. Alfie, how is our fault if they can't control the low? So please, if you have a weak low, don't read our adventures. I'm not responsible for your limal moments, Low. Thank you. And good night, Low. In the poem.
You did a fabulous job of reading Lawrence 67's
poem. I got a
poem.
Bit, yeah.
Yeah, the Laugh Out Loud show. It's just, I really enjoy his adventures. And, you know, it just seems, you know, it just made me laugh that everybody, you know, everybody is sue happy. They're always looking for a way to sue. You know, we watch this all in the news all the time. You know, and he brings that here. They're suing for that Laugh Out Loud show for misrepresentation. And we have signed a document from this personality stating that they were damaged and are suing for emotional and physical injury suffered by them during the Laugh Out Loud moment that actually turned drastically and laughing my ass off that. Went hysterically. He just goes on and on. You read this beautifully. I really enjoyed the way that you read this, Frank. And this was just he just cracks me up. What did you think? What did you think of this poem, Katie?
Oh, funny. Yeah, he's so funny. Yeah, I think he's very clever. I love Nigel the Fat Cat, and I love his homie, Alfie. I just think they're wonderful. Because, yeah, I mean, they're just a little, you know, it's different, and different is needed. You know, people must rejoice in the differences, because there's too many people. I mean, everybody says each generation have their own cult. They had, and I don't use that in a sort of a Satanist way. I mean, they have their own way of doing things. They, like, we had the punks, mm-hmm. we had the rockers, we had the... And they all think they're so original. But each and every one of them is wearing the same costume. So where's the originality? You know, all the bikers have the leathers, all the punks have the parkas, all the people like me have the lovely clothes, haute couture, you know. It's a costume. So I love his little jibe at people. I love that. It's so cool. And this particular LOL is a great friend of mine, because I wrote a piece of poetry saying when they first brought out text speech, the elderly people amongst us would send texts to anybody they knew who had a bereavement.
Do you know what this means?
And that's... And so what they would do is, we are so sorry for your loss, LOL, which they thought was lots of love, but didn't realize he was laughing at love. Oh, great fun. And he's got that kind of irreligious look at life. He just grabs it and just makes you smile. So, yes, well done. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Miss Katie. And what did you think, Grey Eyes?
Laugh my ass off and LOL. Very, you know, I enjoy his LP, and I enjoy his LP writes. They're wonderful. So great read, Frank.
Oh, thank you.
And Frank, what did you think of him?
Well, you know, you've got to credit him for originality, you know. He's very creative. He brings in the storyline, you know, through poetry or this type of style of writing. And he brings his characters to us, you know. As an actor myself, the one thing I always appreciate when I read a script is the originality. And he always has that in his writing. And this is what I appreciate about the poet. And hopefully the next one we see, he makes us even more laugh. Good poem. Great poem.
Thank you. And fabulous read. And thank you, Lawrence. And we're ready for our next poem.
And our next poem is I Want More by Francisco Del Mar. And there's a SoundCloud for this. If you could get that one for us, please, Gray. I hope you're on mute and you haven't disappeared. Or I disappeared.
Every French kiss is the moisture of a lustful opium. The aroma of your perfume is a tempting seduction. I am drawn to the eroticism of your exotic elixir. The lingering effect of your liquid lips is an addiction I crave. My mouth begs for the touch of your smooth sensuality. You amuse me with your enticing coquetry as my body shivers with the consumption of your elixir. I am wrapped in the redundancy of romantic titillation, and your passion flows throughout my veins, injected by the force of an orgasmic rush, a precursor to a hot night of an infectious lovemaking. Make me submit to the power of your sultry spell. Let me experience more the imbuement of your rose petals, the ambrosial love that feeds my hunger and thirst. So damn sexy is the way you kiss, like a raging storm. Ay, que rico, quiero más del sabor de tus labios. I want more of the taste of your lips. Ay, que rico. Ay, que rico. In the poem.
Oh my goodness, what a gorgeous, deeply sensual poem this is. The ambrosial love that feeds my hunger and thirst. So damn sexy is the way you kiss like a raging storm. It's when somebody kisses you and it just sets your body afire. Even when you exhale the taste of them, you can taste them in your mouth, in your lips, and you can just feel the moist heat. And I know Katie doesn't care for that word, but I like it. And then especially where you go, ay, que rico, quiero más del sabor de tus labios. And the way you just slowed that down was just agonizing, erotic torture, Frank.
Well, I hope you're having problems there afterwards.
Ay, que rico. Okay, what did you think of the poem, Katie?
Oh, sorry. I had muted myself, which is just as well. You should have heard me purring. Wonderful. I really enjoyed it. I thought you're lingering on the syllables the way you do just basically makes me think, hello, we're having a wonderful time tonight. Yes, I do enjoy some of the lines. My goodness me. I am wrapped. No, I won't be able to read that one. Okay, I am drawn to the eroticism of your exotic elixir. Just make that a small glass. Thank you very much.
Well, there's three words you can say there, Katie.
Tell me.
Yeah, you could say, I que rico.
Okay, not happening. I que rico.
Oh, there you go. There you go, you see. You
I'm
know.
Multilingual. Totally
there
multilingual.
You
thank you so much. I can speak English, Scottish, Spanish.
Spanish.
Mm-hmm. There we are. Cool.
I'll teach you, don't worry.
Thank you. I like the sound of foreign languages. They're so sexy. So, yes, again, a wonderful, wonderful trip into your mind, which sometimes worries me, but a lot of
time. What do you mean? What do you mean by that?
No, I love your control. You're never over the top. You're never over the top, but the top is pretty high, you know. So.
You know that this was written for a contest there.
Oh, was it? Let me look at your AN. Oh, I see. Good heavens.
Ooh, you got a silver medal. Congratulations.
Well,
it was a Grace contest.
Oh, well, I'm not surprised. I
credit him. I have to give him props there for the inspiration.
Lovely. It really was.
The picture is something that's entirely different there. That was something I added on there.
Oh, yes, it was
a gorgeous
picture. Beautiful, beautifully. It's so smooth, and I like that. That tone is perfect for reading your words, which is just as well, because you're reading them, obviously, woman. I'm such a fool.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Lovely. Thank you so
that.
Much.
Thank you, Ms. Katie.
That. Thank you.
And Gray?
Fabulous read, Frank, and the write is stellar. Congratulations on the silver. But I just wanted to say that, you know, you could start your OnlyFans reading poetry by Frank Francisco Del Mar.
Well, I'd be honest with you. The name itself is what I'm more, I would find more evocative there. I'd love that name. But start my own OnlyFans, just between us, I already have an OnlyFans club there. I'm just keeping it quiet there.
So
the page is there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hit.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get Lou to get one as well.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Oh. Thank you, Francisco. Excellent poem. Did you want to say anything about your poem?
No, yeah. No, I said it was just a piece that was inspired by the prompt there, and it's self-explanatory. People ask me really quick, what inspires me to write? I just write because, being romantic and passionate as I am, it comes natural to me as far as words, but overall, the prompts do help a lot as well.
Yeah, they do. They inspire a lot of writes. That is so
there you
true.
Go.
Exactly. And Gray Eyes is going to be doing a Wednesday show with Pam for the Art of Sensuality during Christmas week. Do you know what you're going
to
be doing it on, Gray?
Do you want me to dress
up
as Santa Claus?
I'm not exactly sure what the contest Pam has there yet.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. We're ready.
I was going to say you need something like that song by, I can't remember what her name is.
Kitty.
The song was. No, can't remember.
Go ahead.
Doesn't matter. Okay, next we have, I've got that one. Pro Tips. Pro Tips by Dan Ellison. And Gray, could you read this one for us, please?
Sure. No problem. All right, so we have Pro Tips by Dan Ellison. For every line laid, I'd like to get paid, but it doesn't seem to be in the cards. And to top it off, when it won't come, I'm working it way too hard. But maybe if I hang on the corner, hawk my wares at passing cars, or I could shake my shingle out at the club, or choke jingles as I mingle through bars. I still don't see what's so wrong with it, though my parents sure were ashamed. It's one of the oldest professions around, or so it has been famously claimed. Shakespeare, Chaucer, and Tennyson, even Homer, did it. I suppose they sometimes use fake names, but man, they all turned pros. So I don't care if you want to stare, prickling prudish at my amateur faults, where my feet end up in these sheets, is the business of consenting adults. End poem.
Adults. Gray, did we lose you?
No.
I'm
here.
Oh, you forgot the last word, adult. So
no, of consenting adults.
So he was talking about humor and rhyme here. I went off a little bit, but I'm in the same industry, at least. I'm going part after the contest. You know, I thought I really enjoyed this poem. You know, poetry also is the oldest profession, which, you know, if you study and look at this, you know, you know, I found this entertaining. I found it humorous, especially where he goes, but maybe if I hang on the corner, hawk my wares at passing cars, or should I shake my shingle out of the club or shout jingles as I mingle through the bars? Fabulous rhyming. I really enjoyed this. What did you think about the poem, Katie?
Yes, the rhyming was very spot on, wasn't it? It was wonderful. I thought this was very good. When you get that first couple of lines, you know, for every line laid, I'd like to get paid, but it doesn't seem to be in the cards. Oh, I understand that. Yes, definitely. But yeah, I thought it was witty, it was quick, it was sharp, which it needed to be when you've got this kind of subject that, you know, that you're writing about.
Mm-hmm.
But then we've got Shakespeare, Chaucer, and Tennyson. Even Homer did it, I suppose. They sometimes use fake names, but man, they all turn pros. Yeah, very good. They all, see, it's the play with words that I love. They all turn pros, and then we have a different way of spelling that and different meaning for it. And very clever. So well done. Really well done, Dan. I really enjoyed this.
Yeah, well, you know, what they were writing to, poets have porn stars. I mean, I thought he did that fantastic. Great comment. What did you think about the poem, Francisco?
Well, this was definitely very creative, very rhymed, as far as humor is concerned. There's so many lines here that are really that insinuate the oldest profession, in particular the first line, for every laid, I like to get paid. I think once in a while we go through that expression there. But I think overall the poem was just fantastically well interwoven with great satire as well. So I thought he did a fantastic job. I'm not going to ask about the pain. But he does mention consenting adults. So, yeah, that does make it clear there.
Exactly.
I haven't been paid that way for a long time.
Oh, that's funny. Thank you, Frank. And how about you, Gray Eyes? You did a great job in reading this.
Yeah, you did.
I enjoyed the humor of it, you know. Which came first, poetry or prostitution? Laugh my ass off is what I gave as a quote. so it was definitely an enlightening read. Thank you for sharing, Dan.
And thank you, Gray. I'm ready for our next front page pick.
Okay, and we have... Oh, we have a SoundCloud for this one. This is Carcoso Sheets, Nicotine Gabagools by Intimidus Rex. And there's a SoundCloud, Gray, if you could lasso that for us.
Polished driftwood, three doors down from reflective steel directions. Blind-faced motes walking the south side of mauve, deep in its moist, sun-drenched doors. We are veined roosters, atomic breath, and burnt lampshades inside dusky motels that eat the soil of your Carcosa sheets, cure putrefaction. Legs spreading wood and laminate, praying to the gods of smudged and papered walls. Dark with the stench of whiskey, coyotes, peacocking verse of fetid skin, dining on those petals of death, flavored in nicotine, gabagools, dripped IPA cream.
Thank you, Intimidus Rex. You know, I really enjoy his poetry. The metaphors are just fabulous. You know, I liked where he said dusky motels that eat the soil of your carcosa sheets, cured putrefaction, legs spreading wood and laminate, praying to the gods of smudged and papered walls dark. He just has amazing metaphors. I really enjoyed this a lot. What did you think of the poem, Katie?
Oh, yes, it was another little masterpiece by Rex. I really enjoyed it. I liked, as you say, the metaphors, but wow, very good. Mm-hmm. Teaching me an awful lot. But I did enjoy this with the stench of whiskied coyotes, peacocking verse of feathered skin, dining on those petals of death, flavored in nicotine, gabagools. Okay, I need to find out what a gabagool is. It sounds like it should be something that's haunting you in the dead of the night, but I will find out. I will definitely find out. Very well done, Rex, as ever. Your work is really good and polished and wonderfully read, so thank you for sharing.
Thank you. Excellent comment. And what did you think of the poem, Gray?
I like his mind. You know, he has a fantastic mind, which shines through this, right, quite brilliantly. And I said, your mind emanates brilliance, shining brightly through your words. You know, he has such a deep mind that has so many undertones of brilliance to it that just shine brightly through his poem. So excellent write and a fantastic read.
Thank you. And Francisco, do you know what a gabagool is?
I was trying to look it up. I think it's an Italian word. I knew it had to do with something, but I don't know what it is completely, but I know it's Italian. I will defer that afterwards and say that the poem itself was very, very innovative, very creative. And I really like his style, what was mentioned here before by Gray. I really like the way he encompasses metaphors in such a short, there's really not much length to his poem. He did a fantastic job. He's very, very creative. I really, really admire his creativity.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was looking up what you said. Somebody wrote, What the hell is gabagool, and why does Tony Soprano talk about it all the time?
Yeah.
And it's a type of meat. Yeah.
yeah.
It says we know about salami, prosciutto, and bologna, and it says that let's see, Starbucks sandwiches. It says it came out. What the blank is a gabagool, and it's formerly known as Capella Cola. Oh, Capella Cola is so good. It's an Italian cold cut, and you're right.
He was Italian, but I didn't know exactly what it was completely.
Mm-hmm. So now we know it's delicious meat, Italian cold meat. So now I'm going to have to go back and read his poem and see what Italian cold meat he's talking about.
Well, you can always make it an invite there.
And Miss Katie, we're ready for our next front page pick.
I just can't get my mind off the fact that it's not a big haunting thing. I'm quite disappointed.
Well, if you don't like meat, I guess it.
Get it to gather gold.
Yes, mm-hmm. But I don't think I want to be haunted by a big slab of meat. No, I'll forget that for the moment and go on to something else. Okay, our next one up is, lost my mouse. Get back here. We are. Salvaged in the Tarn by Sky Dark Home. Now, does that have
yes,
a SoundCloud?
It does.
It does. It has a SoundCloud.
Yes, it does.
Ray, are you on mute by any chance?
He's thinking of the bop of the
Selvage bop. And the Tarn by Sky Dark Home. There is a cemetery of paper leaves, white bones that gape in the dark, with wide mud eyes and half-skinned smiles, toe-tag bodies curled in rough horsehair coffins, soaring rushes that bait worms and hook hope belly side up. This is where I go to bury thrice broken branches, thin, dying branches, heavy with dew-like grief, where the lockjaw of dreams expose missing teeth and spit out the black skein of chewing tobacco. I sleep, fragmented, watching pine needles float atop the water, and remember, they all float down here. All those what could have and might have been, a scatter of sepia spines catching gray reflections. I am a pallbearer of my own invisible self, not quite dead and not quite buried, rather thrown to those paper leaves, piece by piece, like little sparks never tendered, hoping to be rekindled or set alive. Instead, I only collect them, blue mouths and stinking of rot. End poem.
Oh, what a beautiful read by Sky Darkholme and her imagery in here. You know, she talks about, oh, there's so many great images here, but this just touched me deeply. I am a pallbearer of my own invisible self, not quite dead and not quite buried, rather thrown to those paper leaves piece by piece. Oh, this is just wonderfully written. She wrote to Sometimes Dead is Better, Pet Sematary, Stephen King. We all float down there, and we do. And just, you know, just made you think, especially the picture she picked, the loneliness, you know, at time, because when we do die alone. Oh, with all our memories. And I just get blown away like leaves. Wow, what great imagery. What did you think, Katie?
Well, I'm very fond of this kind of poetry. I like it a lot. That line, they all float down here. For me, that's a line from It. Is it It? Yeah. Yeah. The clown that haunts the town in America.
You mean It?
It. It is It. Yeah,
yeah.
It. That's what I thought it was. For some reason, I don't know why I thought I'd said it the wrong word. But anyway, beautifully done. And that's what that made me think about, they all float down here, which is the most chilling of sentences from nowhere. You know, it can quite catch you, not expecting it. But I thought it was great. I thought it was very, very clever. Not quite dead and not quite buried. I mean, you know, that's limbo for you. That's definitely limbo. Like little sparks never tended, hoping to be rekindled or set alive. Ah. Yes, I thought it was well written, caught the whole flavor of this place that you wouldn't want to be in. Yeah, it does look a bit like limbo too, doesn't it? This little boy with his hoping to catch his supper. Maybe a bit brighter and prettier, but yeah, I liked it. I liked it a lot, Sky Darkholme. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you. Excellent comment. And what did you think, Gray?
I enjoyed it. You know, I like the darkness that she weaves in her, right? There's a cemetery of paper leaves, white bones that gape in the dark with wide mud eyes and half-skinned smiles. Like, ew, that's just nasty. And toe-tag bodies curled in rough horsehair coffins, souring rushes that bait worms and hook belly side up. this is where I go to bury thrice broken branches. You know, it really speaks to death and all that it has to do with it. And then I am a pallbearer of my own invisible self, not quite dead and not quite buried, rather thrown to those paper leaves piece by piece. It's just a haunting right throughout. So beautiful job, Sky, and a fabulous read as well.
Thank you, Gray. And how about you, Frank?
Yeah, I heard this poem previously, and I was very much inspired by this type of writing here. She's a fantastic writer. She brings of darkness to her poetry when she writes like this, and metaphors that are so fresh. They're haunting, yet at the same time, they do provide us the insight of poetry. And when it looks, this is a very dismal, it looks like a very dark and haunting piece. There's always a sense of a moral addition added to this piece here. And that's what I've always enjoyed about Sky's poetry.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Excellent comments, everybody. And we're ready for our next poem.
Okay, our next one is There, The Obvious Unknown by Hawks. And I will read this one, okay. Crows of the sun gather into one, silence that cannot be ignored. Happily the cows dance for their fields of corn. The stench will not be mistaken. Happy is the one who uses their body for the dance. Intense pleasures of light and sound. Distraught is the beast who marks thine word, strangled deep within one's inner hate. Deep films of time and space, small, round, and white. Airy clouds, I cannot seem to breathe. Curvaceous darkness ebbs and the speaking ceases, crashing slowly to a grinding halt. Walls dark, walls of light draw the gluttonous being into the danger, yet we all consume nonetheless. So have the children learned? Have they learned the lilting notes of the wood and the stones sing? The switching of beings who need not step foot to the ground? How to grasp what one cannot reach? Yet they are the only one within that reach. Watch the strawberry and lime lights. Watch them hover with their cousins. The wondrous cataclysm of the others. Then, I suppose, we shall know. End poem.
Thank you, Katie. You did a fantastic read of Oz. I really loved her powerful imagery in here. The different visions that she saw. The part where she says happy is the one who uses her body for dance, intense pleasure of light and sound. And then she goes into the opposite. Distraught is the beast who makes thine word strangled deep within one's inner battle, one inner hate, excuse me. Deep thrums of time and space, small, round, and white. Her imagery is just spectacular in here. What did you think of the poem, Gray?
Gray? Sorry about that. I was speaking on mute. But I really enjoyed it, you know, especially the opening stanza. Crows of the sun gather into one, silence that cannot be ignored. Happily the cows dance for their fields of green. The stench will not be mistaken. To me, that's hilarious. I mean, you can just picture these cows. I mean, I've seen videos of cows in the barn, can't wait to get out to that field of green, and they're all basically dancing. And so, you know, that remind me of that. But, you know, you can imagine them farting as they're dancing. The stench will not be mistaken. I thought it was fantastic.
Awesome comment, Gray. Thank you so much. What did you think, Frank?
Yeah, I enjoyed the contrast of things in this poem here, from the crows, the cows, you know, and how this contrast here is exemplified throughout the metaphors used here. I like the fact that the poetess, I'm not sure if it's a female or male, uses adjectives such as airy clouds, walls, dark, to really point out, you know, stress out the stanzas there, particularly two that I read,
But I thought overall the piece was very creative, very, very ingenious.
Thank you. Excellent comment. And Katie?
Yes, this is very interesting. I really enjoyed this. But that distraught is the beast who marks thine word, strangled deep within one's inner hate, deep thrums of time and space, small, round, and white. Very good, very good. I enjoy that a lot. And
Thank you.
Well done. Thank you very much.
You did a fabulous read. Thank you so much. And we're ready for our last poem for the night.
Okay, and we have, we have Relinquished by Bardoback.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to, let me just have a quick look, see how long this is. I was wondering if you would like to read the last one. Oh, it's quite long. Up to you.
Yeah.
Would you like to read it, or will we just pass this one over?
Are you asking me? No.
Frank? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
I think.
All right. All right. I'll do this poem here. It's called Relinquished by Bardoback. And it goes like this. Under no songs, clouds go oyster gray. Whispers bound in treetops sway. It's better cuts from heaven. Emptiness is bliss. I can live without in a great unknown hereafter. Cloudy deed and devil brown breath. Break hollow and muster orange. We spill the blame, relinquish burdens, drunken fallen rain. Devilish doubt, paper trails and feverish shuttles. Chasing jasmine blue, river, sky, horse and cart. Idle walks, talk and revels. Doubtless prey on touchable stars. And we, plain pilgrim, keen and mellow, relinquish words, our silent yoke washing out to sea. Untouched no graver, so no graver, lighter be. In a mortal world, love is our undoing. No more dance as once we were. Moon sky, glass in fallow. Cloudy river, sky and sea, give up this longing. Tends the grave, sweet, winding meadows thereafter. Relinquish brush and violet grows. Green trees and apple fair. And you, my lily fable, share. No braver, brighter be, I miss your touch of flame in autumn rain, warmth of the evening breeze, in breach of an unknown star, walking in a meadow there, where once the wind had blown. End of poem.
Oh, you read this beautifully. Bardoback's poem, Relinquished. You know, I found that it was just poignant. It was sad. That loneliness that we can feel. And the beauty of nature that he entwined all through here. Cloudy river, sky and sea, given up this longing, tends the grave, sweet winding meadows, thereafter, relinquished brush and violets grow, green trees and apple, you know, where love, you know, sometimes you can fall in love with somebody and it just totally undoes your beliefs in what you see. What did you think about this poem, Gray Eyes?
You know, Bardoback has such talent that really shines through his work. You know, I just commented and I said, you are truly a talented poet. You know, his imagery and his scheme, his flow are beautiful. So, endearing and engaging poem.
Great. Thank you, Gray. And what did you think, Katie?
Yes, this was very clever. This was so much in all these different stanzas telling you all the different parts of what was going on. But doubtless prayer and touchable stars and we plain pilgrim, keen and mellow, relinquish words, our silent yoke washing out to sea. So basically, you know, you can think and believe what you want. Bottom line is the sea will get you. So I thought that was brilliantly done. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you, Katie. And Frank, you read this beautifully. What is your...
I'll be brief here. I know the show's almost gone. I thought it was just a wonderful rendition. It sounded like a Victorian poem as I read it. It took me back to some Victorian writers I grew up admiring McFadden, revering. So I thought this poem overall was just an excellent, excellent piece. Exquisite writing.
Agreed. And this is the end of our show. I want to thank
Katie and Grias and Francisco for calling in and reading and commenting on front page picks and open poetry. It was a fabulous night of poetry. Thank you, everybody. Besitos a todo. Kisses to everybody.
Besitos.
Besitos. And I love you guys. And I enjoy this.
Good night, everybody.
Monday. Good night.
It was a wonderful night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Take care.
Night,
Katie, take care.
Good night, my dear.
Don't leave.